Does housing have a pulse?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. There are signs of life in the housing market this week. Today, we'll get the Commerce Department's report on new home sales. Yesterday's report on previously owned homes showed a surge of more than 7% in November. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has the latest.
Economists predict sales of new homes rose solidly in November, anywhere from 2.5% to 3% above levels in October. Other indicators have also been trending up recently, like home prices and permits taken out by builders to put up new single-family houses. The inventory of unsold new homes has been falling for the past 2.5 years. That means home builders, who have been hesitant to break ground due to the slack economy, might finally start ramping up construction. The increase in home sales this fall, both existing and new ones, is closely linked to two key incentives for buyers: very low interest rates and the government's temporary tax credit for first-time home buyers. That $8,000 sweetener just got extended through April and also got expanded to make some homeowners who are trading up eligible as well. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Yesterday's news of a jump in existing home sales was juice for the world stock markets. European stocks are up almost 1% this morning, and Asian markets gained even more than that earlier today. On Wall Street yesterday, share prices were up about 0.5%. The Dow gained 50 points, and it closed at 10,464. Today, American Greetings releases its quarterly report. Analysts have high expectations for the greeting card company after a tough start to the year. But some people wonder whether paper cards have a similar bright future in the era of Facebook and Twitter. Reporter Sabri Benishore has our story.
This holiday season, you could send a paper card, or you could send these tap-dancing reindeer. That's an e-card, and a lot of people are wondering if it represents the future of holiday greetings.
Within the last 2 years, we've seen a rise of about 40% during the holiday seasons.
Eddie Marmol is with e-card maker 123 Greetings. He credits the economy.
We've never charged a penny for a card, so that's where it all comes down to.
Owen Shapiro is a retail analyst. He thinks it might also be a cultural shift from paper to multimedia.
There is a real danger for greeting cards to become less relevant, particularly to the younger generation of consumers.
Hallmark said in a statement it doesn't believe e-cards are crowding traditional cards out at all. They say people appreciate paper more, and 20 paper cards are sent for every one e-card. Even so, both Hallmark and American Greetings are snapping up e-card companies or offering e-cards of their own. In Washington, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
A new milestone for Hollywood. Domestic revenues have reportedly topped $10 billion for the first time. A box office analyst at Hollywood.com figures 2009 receipts passed that mark yesterday. And that's before the numbers come in for Robert Downey Jr.'s Sherlock Holmes, and Meryl Streep's It's Complicated, and of course the Alvin and the Chipmunks sequel. Squeakquel.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America, working to meet the capital needs of qualified businesses and consumers. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/ahead. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
FedEx reported this month second quarter profits were down 30% from last year, but at least it made money, $345 million. And UPS made even more than that. Meanwhile, over at the U.S. Postal Service, USPS says it will lose more than $3 billion this year and more like $8 billion next year. Can anything be done to save the Postal Service? We're joined by Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning.
Why is our postal service so busted?
Well, you ask them and their first answer is the economy. But it's not just that. Obviously, the internet is eating the postal service's lunch, just as it is doing for newspapers as well. And as you see more business and personal correspondence going into digital form, that just cuts away at their revenue base.
Well, the postal service has a mandate, of course, to do all that delivery. Could a private company come in and do that any better?
Well, that's a very good question, because if the postal service has to get to every home every day, I asked FedEx, do you want that responsibility? They were very crafty. They said, oh, that's very speculative. We don't want to answer that question. But then when I put the same thing to UPS, they said, you know what? No, that's an awful lot of work to do. We're happy to be in the very urban areas where we're going around and we can reach every house you want. Some of these rural areas, though, maybe not so much.
Okay, so that means we have to just live with a postal service that drains our budget, right?
Well, so it seems. Now, what many people don't realize is this is a federal agency that does not get tax dollars. The Postal Service, by law, has to make enough revenue to cover its expenses. It doesn't do that. So by law, it's allowed to borrow up to $3 billion a year from the Treasury Department, maxing out at $15 billion in total debt. Well, the problem here is the Postal Service already owes Uncle Sam about $10.2 billion and says it's on track to maybe lose as much as $8 billion in the next year, meaning they're going to max out their credit card.
This reminds me of the GM Chrysler bailout.
It does, and you could say bailout is probably in the cards. Higher rates are virtually inevitable, reduced service, and a bailout of some sort or some other legislative fix. But I'll go a step further. These guys reach every household in the country. That could probably be leveraged with marketers. Also, they've got this great network of post offices that basically do stamps and boxes all day long. Well, what if you put in some sofas and served lattes and gave Wi-Fi access? I'm thinking the post office could be kind of cool.
Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And finally, is the nuclear power industry being held back by Homer Simpson?
And Lord, we're especially thankful for nuclear power, the cleanest, safest energy source there is, except for solar, which is just a pipe dream.
The Simpsons Show mocks nuclear energy as unsafe. Saskatchewan has canceled plans for a new reactor. Philosophy professor Bill Irwin thinks there's a connection. The Wall Street Journal reports Irwin is going on Canadian radio talking about how TV shapes public attitudes. But the Journal concludes Saskatchewan's decision may have more to do with economics than three-eyed fish and glowing donuts. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.